If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, I hope everyone is having a great start to 2018. Because of the holidays and my upcoming live show in New York on January 11th, the show schedule is a little topsy-turvy, so I decided to share one of my bonus episodes with you. I picked out one of my favorites, which is when the gang from Jalopnik joined me to talk all about the behind-the-scenes stuff and outtakes that happened during the filming of their show, Car vs. America. And it will give you a taste of what you can expect from the bonus episodes. Things get pretty weird. You can help to support my show by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the levels of giving. That's also how you get those bonus episodes. Your generosity really helps me to keep the show going, and I appreciate it so much. But there are also some other ways you can support my show, like leaving an Apple Podcast rating in iTunes or liking my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/askacleanperson. You can, of course, also help me by spreading the word about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. Tweet about it, tell your friends and family, share your favorite episodes on Facebook. It all helps. Thank you guys so much. I love you. Hey, you guys, it's Jolie. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast, the bonus episode. I'm here with the whole gang from Jalopnik. I've got Kristen, I've got Mike, I've got Raph. We're all here. We're going to get bonusy. Yeah. We're drinking.
It's true.
We're drinking. It's going to get wild.
Yeah.
Kristen,
I have to drive tonight. Excuse me.
Do you? Where are you going?
Oh, do you really?
I'm going to Jersey tonight.
Oh, okay. Jersey. Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm staying the night, and I got an early appointment with the shop to get my winter tires on my car.
That's right.
All right.
It's an actual important thing.
Well, this is the dilemma, see, because I don't have parents in Jersey. I am considering maybe buying a car. I'm like, I live in a crappy Brooklyn apartment.
You have where a car.
The Yugo is not a car. The Yugo is not a car. It's not a car. But I was like, where should you get a real car? And I'm like, where do I store winter or summer tires?
Balban, I've been to your apartment. You can fit tires in your apartment.
You know what? You talk to Olga and
Olga's not allowing tires in the apartment. And frankly, I'm with Olga on this one. Yeah. No tires in the apartment.
Yeah.
No tires.
If my apartment was bigger, I'd put tires in my apartment.
Listen, I don't argue with you, Kristen, because I'm terrified of you.
This doesn't have to be an argument, Kristen. I just want to say thank you so much for offering your apartment for a place to store
my tires. It'll amount to $500 a month.
Yeah,
honest to God, just bring him in and be like, what?
This is Jalopnik. Is this not a car website?
Yeah.
You know, I should try that. Like, and I will let you know how it goes.
Wait, can you actually try it? See how long?
I actually should try it and see what happens.
Are you talking about four wheels and tires, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Please have someone video it.
Well, not even like, the wheels, because I was going to dismount the old ones off the wheels.
No, leave the... Oh, and you were going to use the same wheels for the other...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because I was going to say...
Unless you guys want to get me a new set of wheels.
No, I was going to say a couple mounted wheels and tires that makes like a little table
it
that you can put next to a sofa or something and then put stuff on.
We'll see. Like, we'll sneak it
someone
by will.
Someone can vlog there. Put one of the interns and they make it their desk.
Oh, my God. We are getting a new intern soon.
Yeah,
we are.
What? Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're going to...
There's a bunch of applications.
Manual labor.
No S.
One, like, messaged me on Twitter. He's like, hey, I just applied. And I was like, well, email me and... let's chat. And he like sent me his Kinja stuff and it wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah. Social.
I mean,
the way you phrase that though, well, email me, let's chat. That's like,
yeah. Kristen's going to end up on a list of shitty media women for sliding in an intern's DM.
He just graduated college. He's legal.
Send me creepy messages on Twitter.
You know what? This is not making myself better.
Some of the people on that list, it was like creepy DM.
That was literally what some of them were, like creepy DMs.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, just don't DM.
Yeah, don't DM.
Never
ever,
Slack.
Ever
don't DM.
Don't DM.
Never tweet.
Never tweet.
Never tweet.
Never tweet.
Tweeting's fine. If I didn't tweet, I wouldn't have that amazing roundup of food spills in cars. That was a really weird way
of pronouncing horrendous. That was the weirdest.
That was good hashtag content. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching your faces. That was fun.
Don't watch our faces. Our faces are terrible.
Watching your faces.
The amount of comments. So our TV show, Car vs. America, watch it on Fusion Wednesday nights at 8 p.m.
That's 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific.
Yeah.
Very good.
The amount of comments we got where they're like, these guys have faces for radio. I was like, thank you.
It's true.
Yeah, we were going from like the British school of thought, which is that if someone is so ugly on TV that you would feel like, hey, at least I'm not that bad.
It's a good
like,
show.
Have you ever
watched
like a British sitcom?
Yeah,
that's how you feel like, oh God, it's not that dark. Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah, and that's, you know,
that's us.
They came to us and they were like, well, we really need a show that represents the short with bad teeth and bad hair and bad skin. And I was like, I think we got you covered. We can do this.
There was one episode where, I think it was the H2OI episode, where we really both had just atrocious hair at the same time.
you want behind-the-scenes stories?
Yes, I do.
The amount of times we would finish shooting a scene and the camera guy is just like, you need to do this with your hair.
I was like, just be in two different directions.
But we just filmed that whole scene. And he's like, yeah, you did. I'm like, can we redo it? And he's like, no.
Nah.
That's just it now.
That's just it.
That's what you look like.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So it's for you to live with.
They didn't spring for hair and makeup, huh?
Oh, no. In the beginning,
wait,
they did.
No, they did not.
What?
You guys got fancy haircuts
no,
in
no,
Soho.
No. We didn't get. No, no.
No, that
First
is
of all,
true.
That's the haircut the I usually go to. I go to the fancy
that's
place.
That's also not hair and makeup. Getting a haircut is not hair and makeup.
Yeah. I go to the fancy place because this is as good as it gets.
This
is miserable. This is as good as it gets.
The haircut we got before the show, the lady shaved part of my chest hair.
What?
Yes.
They didn't do that to me.
Well, so they had me
she
like...
She was like, we need to tame this.
I was not used
Does
to
yours,
Soho.
Does like, stick out?
I was not used to the Soho like haircut experience.
Okay.
It was like this
It's the
sort
same
of,
as getting any other haircut.
No, it was like this fancy stuff. They gave you the whole haircut. The hot towel thing, and I was sort of, you know, you're swaddled.
Okay, that part is nice.
Your whole face
The swaddling is
yeah.
nice.
Your face is vibrating because of the heat and whatever. And I was sort of out of it, and like, there's sort of like, you know, facial hair things.
You have a lot of facial hair.
At the moment, I do. And I did at the time, and I did not realize that they were like, not only were they trimming it up, which I thought was weird, but they had also, yeah, they had trimmed out the top so that it would
it
not
was like,
poke out
it
of
was
my
like
shirt.
They started at your Adam's apple and went up and down from there. Like, oh,
and it was like,
make some room here.
It clearly made sense to somebody at the time, but then like if I wore any shirt that was like slightly down, then you would see like normal hair and then like four hairs, which were like half the length of all the other ones. You'd just be like, well, how did it happen?
This is what
I
mean.
What occurred?
People think making TV is glamorous, and it's just very degrading.
It's not, yeah, no, it really, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I haven't done, I've done TV appearances,
mm-hmm.
And I've done like, you know, web filming and, you know, well, some live, obviously Facebook Live stuff, and like some that was like filmed and edited and was like a proper shoot and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's the opposite of glamorous. It's it's humiliating. It is so time consuming. It's so tedious.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Nothing will make you feel worse. I can't. It's like people are always like, oh, don't you want to be? I was at a memorial service recently, and one of my like OG editors was like, me and I were catching up, and I was like, you know, I'm back at GMG now and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, I think I kind of did know that. And he was like, you should get one of those Fusion TV shows.
Yeah.
And
please do.
And I was like, well, off mic, I'll tell you what I said to him about that. Because even on the bonus episode, this was too negative for me to repeat out loud, but I'll tell you guys. But I was just like, I don't want to.
What I would love is if my whole life could just be disturbed for several months.
Well, that's
the thing. Lose my brain and be like told when and where to be.
So we did 12 episodes, which is technically like a half season.
Yeah.
We were on the road for 2.5 months. Each episode you see is 22 minutes. That's been boiled down from 3 days. 12
of shooting.
Of shooting.
Five days per shoot.
5 days
in
per
total.
Shoot. 3 days of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Each day was at least 12 hours long.
Yep.
So that's a full 36 hours which is boiled down to 22 minutes.
Yeah.
So there's so much. There's actually great stuff that's been left on the cutting room floor. We're going to try to run that on the site.
Okay, good. So yeah, so that's also some of the stuff. Like, what's some of the stuff that you were really bummed out didn't make the cut? How much control do you have over the, like, the lost footage to, like, play with and do stuff with? I mean,
the secret tapes.
Yeah,
yeah. It's gonna be on the DVD.
So like,
on the LaserDisc.
Like Kristen knows. It's like I'm a big Bravo super fan. And one of the things that they used to do, they don't really do it so much anymore, is that at the end of the, like, Housewives seasons and Vanderpump Rules seasons and all those, they would do like after the reunion, they would do like a special, like, unseen footage hour long thing of just like, yeah, clip, like a clip show of the unseen stuff, and it's great.
Well, there's plenty of that, and so I'll say, you know, the first episode, for instance, because most people are, if you've seen the show, if you've seen one episode of the show, you've likely seen the first episode, because that was the one. It's on YouTube.com.
It's the skid plate one.
It's a skid plate one.
So you guys, also, I have to say, and I'm biased because I know you guys and I love you guys and I now work with you guys, but really, it is such an enjoyable little show. It just is fun. It's like, it's just...
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
I really genuinely do. And not just because I know you guys. I mean, it helps that I know you guys because it makes it, like, it makes it...
Biased.
It makes the terror funnier.
Well, it does. I mean, like...
We were so hopelessly unprepared for that episode. You have no idea.
Oh, my God. They were like, okay, you go make a TV show now. And we're like, huh?
Not only that, but they're just like, all right, you guys are going to do skid plate racing. We're like...
What
do you mean when? They're like no, now.
Today. Like, and it's like hurried up because the crew's on a 12-hour clock. We're following union rules here. So
well, no,
the
even like the absolute first scene that we shot with the skid plate racers. So we pulled them out onto the track. We just built one, and then we borrowed one of the cars that one of the guys who helped us build it, he normally used.
The building, by the way, was like super scary for me because, Balaban, you hold like...
The mallet.
That also was like a longer thing too.
Oh. That made me scared. So, like, your technique was so bad.
Truly
and
awful.
I was so scared that you were going to take out your kneecap.
Well, I will say, in that episode too, the guy softened it up for Raph. So that Raph had no problem with it. And then he was like, okay, you do the other side. And it was not softened up at all. And I have no idea what I'm doing. I have very soft hands.
It's true.
I have lived an academic life. Like, I'm not going to pretend to be anything else.
After Mike was done, I went and then bent the rest of his side as well.
But
I did slice my finger open like 6 seconds into doing that.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like, literally, it's like, all right, you guys are doing a TV show. Like, go help tear this car down. I was like, cool. And I like had to take out a piece of plastic and then just like instantly, like, my finger is open and blood is everywhere.
But I will say, from that episode, there was a huge segment entirely cut. Because from the first episode, we didn't really know. I mean, we'd never made a TV show before. We're like, how much do we need? Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, let's just keep cramming stuff in, you know, and it'll be fine. We went about 2-3 hours outside of North Carolina. We went to Southwest Virginia to visit a guy named Gary Duncan. Gary Duncan has, as far as we're aware, the largest car collection in North America.
Wow.
Possibly one of the largest in the world.
But no one talks about its size because the size is not...
Size doesn't matter.
It's not what gets you.
It's what it consists of.
The cars that he collects are so strange that you forget. It doesn't even cross your mind that that's one of the biggest.
It's like, and a lot of them are like, oh, this is... If you saw one of these cars on the street, you'd be like, wow, that's a really unique car.
Uh-huh.
But what breaks your brain about Gary Duncan's collection... Which is all for sale, by the way. It's technically all for sale.
Oh.
You go to Gary Duncan Imports. He'll sell you one. So you'll see a car. If you saw one car on the street, you'd be like, wow, that's so unique and special. And I feel really nice for seeing it. You walk in, and there's 100 of them. In every color and every option. It's like it breaks your brain. Imagine if, like, you were at the Louvre, right, and you went to see the Mona Lisa or something, and you're like, there it is. There's the one. And then someone at the Louvre was like, oh, no, hold on, come back here. In this warehouse, we got 1,000 of them. Like, it's like, what?
Different periods of his life, different moods, different paints.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
and
it
breaks your brain completely.
So Gary Duncan is this very sweet, just like Virginia kind of guy. Uh-huh. He, if you walk into the front of the dealership, he's just like, here's a Bible if you want it.
Okay.
He's just like very, you know, just like the sweet old man.
Mm-hmm.
in. He was a Honda dealer. He actually is still a car.
He owns multiple dealerships now. It's not just Honda now. It's like Porsche, Volkswagen, Audi.
Back in the 80s, he was a Honda dealer. Honda dealers at the time were raking in the cash. He went in 1989 to the Tokyo Motor Show. And when he was there...
He went to see like what Honda's coming out with next year.
Yeah.
When he was there, he walked over to the Nissan stand, and they had this kind of car, which was this like... They had, back in the 80s, it was a bubble economy in Japan. They were Everybody was making tons of money. They were like, you know, we can make as many cars as we
want. I remember the movie Gung Ho.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, anyway, so they made... Nissan made a special factory where all they did was make retro cars. So like way before the Beetle... They had cars which were
Beetle,
sort of...
The new Beetle.
Okay.
And way before, like, the Chrysler PT Cruiser and, all these retro-styled cars.
They had these adorable little cars which were reminiscent of, like, French cars from the 60s,
so I'll give you an example.
Things.
One car was called the Escargot. It was a van, Escargot, like S-cargo. It was a van, but it was named after a snail because they were like, oh, it looks like a snail and it's adorable. So you have this, like, adorable retro snail van.
I want it.
Yes, well.
So in 1989, so did Gary Duncan. And Gary Duncan walked up to the people at Nissan and were like, hey, I sell cars in America. I sell Japanese cars in America. I would like to sell these cars. Americans would love these.
They would go nuts.
And he was right.
Yeah.
But the people at Nissan were like, no way. Americans would never appreciate these things. They're too weird. We'd never like them. Yeah. We're not going to sell them to you. And we'll never sell them to Americans. And he was just like, you'll rue the day.
Yeah. No.
And one day, I'll make it a personal quest of mine that I will sell these cars to Americans and I will finally, and they will finally appreciate them.
So,
well, the thing is, in America.
Here comes the American law. You know, you might be thinking, oh, well, why doesn't he just bring the cars over himself? And that, no problem. In American law, there is something called the 25-year rule. If a car is younger than 25 years old and it's not tested for emissions and safety, you can't sell it here. But the second 25 years are up, all bets are off.
Okay.
You could basically sell anything you want.
So 25 years after 1989.
Oh, my God.
Gary Duncan
holds a grudge like
think,
I hold a grudge.
You think yes. Peter Thiel holds a grudge?
So here's the thing. My patrons know this story because I told it when Sam Woolley was here, our beloved artist in residence, Sam Woolley.
Yeah, the best.
The best. When he joined for the bonus episode, I had like promised my patron, I did like a patron drive, that I was going to tell the story about a grudge that I've been holding since 1981.
Yeah.
So I actually think that I actually am still the winner of the grudge match.
You weren't even born then.
Yes, I most certainly was. I'm older than you think. I'm the second. Do you know that I'm the second oldest person at Death? Although, actually, maybe now that Roth is there.
Older than Rabbi Pachesky?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's amazing that he's still allowed to be a rabbi with that tattoo on his neck.
You know, Marchman's a Civil War veteran.
Yeah,
I am older. I think, actually, Dave Roth ruined my status. But I'll forget. I love Dave Roth. Dave Roth and I go way back to the All. So, like, we've got love and fam.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
But until he joined, only Dave McKenna was older than me. I've got about 6 or 9 months on McGarry. I've got, like, a year or two on Marchman. See, my
Drew McGarry's, like, 12.
Yeah. I was like, a year or two on McGarry is not hard.
Yeah, no. Drew and I are the same, like...
I hear they're going to promote him from intern sometime
soon. Drew and I are the same, like, graduate year of high school and college.
Okay.
But I've got, like, I think 6 months on him or something.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm actually, like, yeah, I'm an elder at Deadspin, which is crazy.
It says more about Deadspin, I think. Yeah.
But yeah, holding a grudge since 1981 is better than Thiel, and not as powerful as Thiel. But yeah,
Well, Gary Duncan used his grudge for good.
Exactly.
He certainly did.
So 25.
And I haven't used my grudge for any kind of good other than telling a good story on the bonus app.
Worth it.
Yeah.
So yeah. True. So he knows his 25-year rule exists. Because
he's a car person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then what happens, Raph?
He starts importing them.
Yes.
By the dozens. If, you know, as many as he can get.
Okay.
Good ones. Is like, in Japan,
each one of them is, like, pristine.
Okay.
But he has people he knows in Japan, and he's like...
He's got a guy.
He does this with the United States now, too. He has people all across the country.
This is true.
They watch Craigslist for.
There are his eyes and ears.
Yes. Yeah.
His little birds.
And
his
Oh my God. It's quite true.
Spiders and his little birds.
I love it.
This is true. But if
Game of cars.
But if they see like a 1983 Celica Supra up for sale on Craigslist for $100, they call Gary up. He offers the person fair market value. Doesn't matter what they're asking.
Okay.
He said he's offered above what they're asking.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives him a $500 commission.
Love it.
Yeah. But so he's got this sort of system set up in Japan, too, where he's collecting them from all over.
Because in Japan, they're just old cars.
Yeah. In Japan, there are people. A lot of people are like, what's so special about these?
But here,
but
they're special.
These are the cars they're pining over. And now you get sort of like a weird thing where in Japan, they're reporting American cars. But we can get there later.
Yeah.
So these cars are streaming into the United States, and they're all going to this one warehouse in rural Virginia.
You'd never think anything. You'd drive past it, you wouldn't notice.
But you wouldn't even drive past it, because it's not like...
Because it's rural Virginia.
That's the thing.
It's
not like, oh, I know rural Virginia, Richmond. No. This is like Virginia's southwest, that little panhandle it's got.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is.
It's one of those roads where to get to an exit on the other side of the highway, you have to drive like 20 miles in the other direction before there's a crossover,
and
then you can come back.
Yeah. So they're all streaming into this garage until eventually he's amassed over 900 of them.
Now, it's fascinating because at this point, they're sort of a collection and they're sort of an inventory, and he's collected more than he'll ever be able to have one person.
And it's not,
but
it's
he's
not,
also more than he could ever really sell in a lifetime.
Right. And it's not just Japanese cars now either. Like, if you see one pristine DeLorean, that's a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two. He's got like the car that Barry Goldwater used on the campaign trail.
Oh my God!
Yeah. He's got, and they're all in.
He's got like
absurdly pristine condition. He has a collection of, I mean, this is Japanese, but a collection. They have a class of cars there called K cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely small. He's a collection of Japanese K fire trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got pristine Chryslers. He's got a Volkswagen. He's got a Volkswagen Beetle with 17 miles on it.
Oh, my God.
And it's not a new Beetle. It's like a 1973, and not 17,000 miles, 17 miles.
So he's a sweet man, and he's engaged in this sweet pursuit, and he's also just cognizant enough that he's gone insane.
No, but...
And he's trapped in his own
but
madness.
But back to Raph's point about...
I mean, listen, I feel like I identify with that, right?
And you
I
meet
mean,
him, and he's...
You know, that's the thing. Like, I started off... When I started Ask a Clean Person, right? I wasn't a cleaning expert. I was just a person who knew a lot about cleaning.
Yeah,
I was a fixer. I was my friend's fixer, right? I was
the
one who everyone called when they needed a problem solved that they didn't want to call home for, right?
Yeah.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a crazy person who has people... tweeting photos of their filthy wash water that I then share every single Wednesday with a special hashtag. Like, I have gone over the edge.
That's the thing.
I've gone over the edge. I survived, and now I just want to keep going over the edge.
But
absolutely.
That's the thing. He's realized it's gone beyond his own lifetime. It's beyond himself as a person, to the point that I asked him, these are all technically for sale, but first of all, how much would you say this collection's worth? Which is like a weird question, but I was like, I'm a journalist, how much is it worth? And he goes, the whole thing? Like, if someone wanted to buy it today? I was like, yeah. He goes, about $12
million.
And I said to him, so what would you do if someone offers you $12 million? And he goes, I could never sell the whole thing. And I was like, "Well, do you plan to sell at least most of it?" He goes, "I plan to sell most of it," but he was like, "Here's the thing you have to realize, and also imagine that you're listening to this in a very genteel Southern accent."
Okay.
Just this unbelievably, just this tall, just like unbelievably sweet, old Southern fan.
And he goes, "Here's the thing, I'm in my 70s. For most of my life, I was a bachelor. He got married, I think, in his late 40s or early 50s.
Okay."
His now wife, she's got kids, they're his stepkids, but they don't really have an interest in it. And he was like, I know this collection will last longer than me.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I know, I just don't have a lot of time left to get rid of all of this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what do you do with it? He goes, well, you know, sell as much as we can now, and then it'll all get donated to charity. So these things will end up either in museums or the property of nonprofits that then can then go and sell them themselves.
Yeah.
But it becomes a force for good in
the world. It becomes a bigger
Right.
That's beautiful.
Right. And it's this incredible story of like weirdness, but also goodness.
And don't forget that these cars are like, they just put a smile on your face the moment you see them. They've got like, you're like,
they're all candy colored.
And they're just like minute, this is like big headlights.
Oh my God, well, no, I'm heartbroken that this didn't make it into the show.
Yeah.
This is the first episode.
Can you take the footage and cut it into like its own standalone web thing?
We're in meetings exactly
as, literally as we speak. Yeah. We've compiled like, a whole list of all this stuff.
That's such an incredible story. Yeah. And I
think it needs to be told.
It needs to be told for more than the like, you know, 200 people who are going to be listening to this episode because they subscribe on Patreon. Like, yeah. You know?
Yo, these cars are well priced. Legit. If you're thinking of buying like, oh, I kind of need a used car, maybe the used car that you need is like a wacko 1992.
Why don't we buy one to drive from the Deadspin pod to the Jalopnik pod?
It would fit in the office.
But like I was saying, Jalopnik cannot afford anything. But these cars are also not crazy. They're like $6,000 to $10,000. I mean, some of them are more than that. But
a Honda Beat, you could get off of him for like $4,500. And that is legit one of the most enjoyable cars I've ever driven.
You can get a Honda.
Yeah, he's got many Honda.
Now, you don't know this because they never sold them in America. But Honda, in the early 90s, they took their smallest economy car engine, which wasn't even like just minute, and instead of sticking it in the front of an economy car with a little hatchback behind it, they stuck it in the middle of a car and made it into a little roadster. And you're like, well, that's going to be stupid because it's tiny and it's got a tiny engine. It's not going to be that fun. It's just going to be kind of tedious. And you drive it and it's like driving a skateboard.
It's absurd.
And like the wind is in your hair and like all the motions of you do the steering wheel and the shifter is like,
okay,
it's
but
just
here's
thrilling.
Also the tragedy of television. Raph is telling me this story and that's all I have to go on what this car is like to drive because I got to drive one of the K fire trucks. Raph got to drive that little Honda.
Oh, which had the best horns and sirens and like PA system.
But that was it. We ran out of time. The crew was on a 12-hour limit and we had to drive 3 hours back. So that's it. I never got to drive the Honda Beat.
We have to go back.
Well, now we have to go back. Yeah.
Let's bring Raymond.
Yeah.
Whoa. I have an amazing idea.
That's one episode out of 12, by the way.
And when they got to us, they were like, the first rough cut of the first episode, they were like, it's 28 minutes. It needs to be 22. You're 6 months over, and we haven't even put Gary Duncan in.
Yeah.
So stuff.
Yeah, it's got to go. Okay. Yeah. So here's my great idea, because this is how we're going to get the company to pay for it.
Yeah.
Do
it, please.
This is the team trip where all of you take turns teaching me to drive so that we can determine which of you is the best driving teacher.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I'm down for this. Being a driving teacher has nothing to do with
which high-fiving you guys.
You can have amazing drivers who are terrible instructors.
Yep,
terrible
exactly.
teachers.
Unbelievably
exactly.
bad.
So
this is actually
I feel like the right mix of for the three of you are the right mix of people and Patrick. And so I think that that's the trip. I think that like we get a sex offender van with some like sweet sweet airbrushing on
it. I'm sure we could find one of those.
Yeah, sweet airbrushing in the whole nine.
We visited a fan club in Portland.
And they're
awesome.
All super nice people.
We met this guy from Russia.
Sergey.
Sergey. He was covered in tattoos, some of which
long hair, like looks like he walked right off the metal band stage.
He's got
I'm picturing it.
He's got a denim jacket where he's replaced sort of the top parts with leopard print.
Oh, I love him. Is he single?
No.
Oh.
But he had like all these tattoos of like vintage vans and stuff. And we were like, "Oh, did you get those after you had after you got your van?" He's like, "No."
He's like, "I got them in the thickest Russian accent. I got them in Russia." And he was like, "I got them because this was my dream." He was like, "I wanted to move to America, have no job, and be homeless."
And live in a van and cross the country.
Live in a van and down by
like,
the river.
He was like, "I've achieved my dream."
And he had this like, unbelievably awesome 70s van. He was surrounded by his friends.
There was such serenity there.
He was literally living his best life.
And I was just like, you are more goal-oriented and successful than like 90% of the people I know.
Yeah.
And you live in a van.
That's the thing. If he wanted to be an astronaut, he'd be an astronaut.
Like the people you meet are just, anyway.
But going
incredible.
Back to your point about instructing, there's another thing on the show. So in our Seattle episode, we went to a rally school called Dirtfish, and I'm talking to one of the instructors, and I'm like, oh, clearly you've been rally driving for 70 years now. And he goes, actually, no, before I started this job, I'd never set foot in a rally car in my life. And I was like, what? He goes, no, I was a race car driver.
Okay.
But rally driving is entirely different than mm-hmm. driving. It's like, you know, I know how to play bassoon and now I have to play banjo.
Okay.
Like, they're both technically musical instruments, but entirely different. So,
I like that your mind also can just pull up bassoon and banjo.
I used to play
call.
Oboe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So he, I was like, well, how the hell?
I used to date one of those strong lips.
Yeah. Oh, real embouchure. It's a thing.
More than I needed to know.
sorry, you guys.
Raph, this is a thing beyond you. Anyway, so I ask him, you okay, Raph?
Raph is literally blushing right now.
Oh, my God. He blushes about this and when we try to find him a girlfriend. These two things are.
Raph has been made uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I ask him, well, like, how the hell did you get the gig? And you don't know what you're doing. And he was like, no, now I know what I'm doing because I've learned on the job. But he was like, what they look for is how good of a teacher you are.
Interesting.
And he was like, the rest, we can teach you. Mm-hmm. But if you can teach someone else, that's all we need.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So here's my theory.
Yeah.
My theory is that Patrick is actually going to be the best teacher of all of you.
Definitely.
Most, yes.
He's the worst driver.
By far.
Worst driver,
he's
but
awful.
Best teacher. Yeah.
But yeah, the best teacher by far. Yeah.
Which is like, you know, why he's EIC. Like,
well, this,
you know, it's like.
This also
he
follows.
He can like keep it all together when, you know, like neurotic writers are falling apart and neurotic Jolie is falling apart.
I mean, he taught me, so I know.
I also like literally, I just feel so sorry for all of you because like I'm very capable in like behind this mic and behind my laptop and cleaning a floor on my handsies and kneesies and cleaning up after, you know, a murder.
Sure.
I
didn't hear nothing. I don't know who
like,
Jolie is.
I can like totally keep it together.
Sure.
In like so many situations in which it's very good to keep your shit together. But like you guys, there will be tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will definitely yell.
Yeah.
Like not yell like I'm getting mad at you, like I'll throw a temper tantrum. I will definitely storm out of the car at some point.
That's
like,
good.
No.
Probably
this
while
is
it's moving.
This is why we have to teach you in a race car with 6-point harnesses and a roll cage.
I can't get out.
You can't
and
get
no
out.
Door. And no door.
No door. Yeah.
And I mean the worst thing is like first of all, there's several reasons. I mean, basically the biggest reason I don't drive is that I consider it a gift I've given to humanity.
True.
Saving them.
Gotta think it through.
The gift of life.
But there are two particularly bad qualities that I have that like don't lend themselves to being a great driver. And I'm not sure which is worse.
What is it like I hate Wisconsin and
that specifically. Yeah. I hate Wisconsin. No. One, I have a temper.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I startle very easily.
Oh, dude, I have such bad wrath issues. You're going to be fine. It's fine. You learn to control it.
The startling easily is the problem. Like, anything can, like...
The startling easily, I honestly can't say anything other than, you know, healthy on the road because most people don't get startled by anything and then they crash.
Right. Well, the other thing is part of the reason that I startle easily, and I think, Kristen, you've heard me talk about this. You guys might have heard me talk about this in the office. I have a highly observant eye, so I see things that other people don't see.
Oh God, you see
I see everything.
Oh my God,
I see. Yeah, I'm so you're a horror.
Oh God.
No, I do. I mean, like, I actually was just joking with someone the other day. Like, playing Where's Waldo with me is a nightmare because I'm like, Waldo's right fucking there. When you, you
I can never
blind?
See Waldo.
Like, yeah, I'm
I
like, were you never. Fucking blind? Like, you know, I go full Boston, and like, you know, the whole.
Oh, you're blind.
Oh, also, I'm from Boston.
Yeah.
True.
There are three strikes against me in terms of the driving.
Joel, do you want me to be encouraging of you, or do you want me to lay something down? Because I can.
You can lay it.
You
down.
May
I'll
be.
Take it.
You may never be a good driver.
I'm never going to be a good. No, I'm never. I'm never going to be a good driver.
Well,
oh no, no, no! I am never going to be a good driver.
I'll veil it in a compliment because some people are bad drivers because their brains are too active.
That's me.
My dad can't. He can drive. Look, he's an accomplished driver. He's driven, you know, quite some distance, you know, many times.
But he's also
successfully like
he's also
growing up in California. We would often drive to the mountains. He would be the driver, you know, kids in the car, getting, you know, whatever, chopping down trees or whatever.
But Raph's dad is also an accomplished academic.
And he can't relax on the road. Now, like my mom or somebody, or like you can talk to my to like our coworker Jason, he'll write about this.
the really nice thing about driving is you can sort of relax. You can turn half of your brain off. For someone who's got a bit of an active mind, it can be very meditative that you're sort of driving and you're sort of like, you're slightly relaxed. You're only paying attention. You're paying attention to certain things, but you sort of aren't worrying about, you know, the stress of what you're going to be doing tomorrow at work or whatever, because you're just thinking about the road as the white lines sort of hypnotize you.
But oh, like, no, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like me on the treadmill, where it's like an hour of me like turning everything over in my mind, telling myself stories, coming up with fantasies. Like,
right. Yeah, like, no, my dad will be on a trip and he'll just be like, oh, there's a car in front of me, I should pass it. Oh, there's another car, I should pass it. Oh, there's another car, I should pass it. And he's doing 90 miles an hour. He's pulled over.
Oh, and I also get crazy competitive over things that normal people wouldn't be competitive over.
Okay. And he like
and not competitive over things that normal people are. So like
if I can provide any words of advice over like the wrath and the competitiveness.
Don't drive.
No. Have a superiority complex. If you understand from the get-go that everyone else is a terrible driver. They all think they're good, but they're all terrible. Mm. I've driven in cars with many people. They're all awful. There are a few people who have the gift, but if you're listening now, you're not one of them. I promise you. I'm not one of them.
I'm not one of them. For sure.
I know I'm not one of them. It's okay.
Kristen is.
Kristen, yeah, absolutely.
Kristen's fine. But if you understand that everyone else is terrible, then you don't get mad because you're like, it's like getting mad at a puppy for not being able to read.
It's true.
It's like, it's not your fault. Like, you're just not meant to do this. It's okay. And also, you don't have to get competitive because you already know you've won.
That's how I drive. Yeah. It's very true.
Yeah, no, legit, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Okay, that is good advice. All right, maybe you're going to be number two teacher. Kristen's going
to
make
I've
me
already, I'm
Kristen's
trying to give you a complex,
cry.
So.
Kristen's going to make,
not
me
make
cry.
You cry.
Kristen's going to make me cry before I even get in the car.
I would not make you cry.
She's vicious, vicious.
I would not make you cry.
She'll insult your family.
If you, like, come in with, like, spaghetti and meatballs, maybe.
And just dump it on the back seat. This is what I think.
Then there would be a fight. There would be no crying.
No, I would not ever dare. I would not ever dare. I have to tell you, I was stressed out when we were supposed to go to the car show together because it was supposed to be a rainy day. And I was like, I'm going to obviously wear my rain boots. And then I was like,
that's fine.
How am I going to get in Kristen's car afterwards with my like muddy rain boots?
Well, the car show has been rescheduled. When will this air?
This is going to air before the car show.
Great. The car show is November 26th.
Yes, please plug
it. In New Jersey. You could find all of the details on jalopnik.com.
Mm-hmm.
Be there. We're going to have so much fun. There are going to be so many great cars.
Yeah.
jalopnik.com.
Yes. Exactly. And you guys should really go. I have to tell you, so originally I was supposed to go. Kristen and I were going to, we got a press sample of the Dyson car and boat vac.
Oh, I still have to review
and,
that.
And we were going to bring it to the car show, and we were going to do an extra fundraising thing. We were going to charge like $3 to vacuum people's cars
You can
out.
Vacuum mine. Please
and,
vacuum mine.
But here's the thing. So at the last minute, even before it got canceled because of the big storm and
our
the flood
hurricane,
watch.
Our hurricane show got rained out. Yeah.
Got rained out, yeah. Which is the most Jalopnik
really
thing
horrible.
Possible.
Yes.
I unfortunately ended up having to go up to Boston for a memorial service. And not the one I was just talking about. It was I had two in a week. It was...
Ouch.
If I could give anyone life advice, don't ever have two memorial services. You can't help that.
I'll tell my friends and family.
It was really
to keep that in mind.
It did a big number on me having to go to two in a week.
That would
like,
do it.
It made me like really just like rethink kind of everything. I will say on the plus side, I reached out to a lot of people, and I had and because the first one was like a contemporary of mine who I used to work with. I also had a lot of people reach out to me from that like fam. It reconnected me with a lot of people and like,
that's good.
Yeah. And that, which was nice. And it was good to send those emails of like, hi, we have like weird bad blood over something that happened 4 years ago that neither of us remember, but like, that's silly, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like a good life affirming thing of the two memorials in 1 week.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But anyway, so that I was like, you know, at the last minute, not able to go. And then it got canceled. And then unfortunately, it got rescheduled. I'm going to still be in L.A.
I
can't go. And I the funny thing was, is that.
Do you have a life-sized cardboard cutout?
That's exactly what I was going
to ask. I'm flying back on the 28th. I'm going to L.A. for a week for Thanksgiving. And that's the night of the Deadspin Awards. And like.
Who's Deadspin? What?
Fuck Deadspin.
What does that even mean?
So the thing was is that like we got the date, you know, obviously like a while back, but I had already booked the tickets because I booked super early. And like the out of towners were like, oh, like just change your flight and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And like every time I'd be like, I should probably change the flight. Like, I should probably go, like, not because I want to go to the Deadspin Awards, because I want to see her. And I was like, I don't care that much. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I just don't. And then I heard that the Dilapidate Car Show was rescheduled, and I literally was like, I'm going to change my ticket. I can't do that because it's just like, I've got like some work stuff to do that I've got to stay there for. But like, that's like my love for Jalopnik that I was really like.
You shouldn't. We're all terrible people.
You're not.
We're
the
truly
best people.
Awful.
But you guys should all go to the car show, and it's going to be, it's for a good cause, raising money for flood relief for all the various hurricanes.
Yeah. Don't quote me on this, but I believe around 15 grand has already been raised.
What? Yes.
Mazel.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Don't quote me on that.
That's amazing. Jalopnik is such
if
a
you're listening
good.
To this, pretend I didn't just say it.
But only like, yeah, not like
yeah. Yeah.
tens
but,
of people.
But some like obscene number.
Yeah. That's amazing. I'm proud of you guys. Yeah. You guys are the best.
Hopefully be good.
You're the best.
I mean, that's 10 cents. We need all of your donations.
That's,
please.
That's
God.
Jalopnik plus Blipshift. Blipshift is our partner in this.
Okay.
They sell a lot of automotive themed t-shirts, things like that, apparel, equipment. They've been partnering with us, and together we've raised hopefully an amount that'll help somewhat. But that's the thing. You should still come because any little bit helps.
Yeah, any little bit helps. And also, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be really fun. Okay,
cars and Jalopniks. Like, what could literally be more fun than that?
Here's the thing. Jalopnik has never hosted an auto show before, but I've been to similar auto shows in New York City. And we've got, like, such crazy turnout. There was a Mazda RX-2 from the 1970s.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Somebody came with their Lancia 037, which, if you're listening, you know how insane that is. I mean, it's just, there's good stuff.
Cool. I'm really excited for you guys. And I am genuinely sad to miss it. But I know that there will be other ones.
This is true.
You know, this is great. And then we're gonna plan this trip. We're going to go down. And
we're going to go down to Southwest Virginia. We're going to get some good barbecue, some good moonshine.
Yes.
Yes.
All very good. We're going to teach Jolie to drive in a place where there are no cars for me to hit.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you should start on level 10. That's how you get good.
We're going to start you on Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You guys, so here's the thing. I actually did learn to drive in level 10. I used to live in the north end of Boston, which is the Italian neighborhood.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
right near.
Oh, where Mike's is.
It's right. If you guys like, obviously know that part of town, it's right near the Boston Garden and all of that stuff. And it's like an area of town with incredibly windy, narrow roads that are constantly under construction.
That's what you want. That's the place to learn.
Driver pulled in to my like little alleyway. That's the street.
Yeah.
You know, only in the north end, and made me back out.
Smart.
Good.
I had to bang a U-ey onto Commercial Street, which is the street that then takes you down towards the Boston Garden, and that is literally how I learned. That's like,
if you're listening, you're like, what's Commercial Street? It's called Commercial Street. It's a big street.
It's just a wreck too. Like, it's not where you want to learn to drive.
You can't learn to go forward until you know how to go backwards.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I was very wise, totally
thrown into the deep end. And like, if you guys know Boston at all and you know where this was happening, like, it was insane. It was too much for someone who startles easily. And I came home crying, and the whole thing was bad.
It's hard to imagine.
Oh, and then it started raining.
Oh, yeah, as you want.
It started raining when I was on the bridge for over from the Museum of Science onto Storrow Drive is a metal bridge.
Isn't that Longfellow?
No, Longfellow's in Cambridge.
Oh, okay.
That's not the reverse the curse bridge.
No.
And it's not the Harvard Bridge either.
It's just a short little. It's like literally over like a little tiny little canal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know that bridge. It's purple now, right? It lights up purple at night.
No. You're thinking this is the same.
This is diverging from a past discussion.
It's not like a bridge. It's a metal grate over a body of water.
Okay.
There's nothing. Yeah, it's just a metal grate. So yeah, raining and going over a metal grate. It was just not great.
It's hard to imagine already. Like what are good equivalents of these sorts of things. It's just like, all right, we're going to need you to calculate the return angles for the Apollo astronauts, and if you do it wrong, they'll die.
I know you've never done math before,
but just figure it out.
Yeah, it was not maybe not a really good strat. Like I'll just say.
Oh, and before you do the calculations, I want you to get them to know them. You know, really know the stakes.
You know how to do surgery, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no pressure or anything, Jolie. All right, you guys, I have kept you way too long. This was so fun. So fun. You guys, go watch Car vs. America.
Yes.
Read Jalopnik.com. Go to this car show. The Deadspin Awards.
Do all the things we tell you.
Do what we say.
And don't bring food into the fucking car.
Into the fucking car. And patrons, I love you for being my patrons. I will not catch you next week because I'm going to be off. I'm going to be in LA getting all lit up on Thanksgiving instead of recording a podcast. I'm very excited. But I'm going to make you guys some like special something bonus eps in LA with Malls and Ronnie and all those, that whole gang out there. So love you. Happy Thanksgiving to all. And I will catch you when I'm back from my LA trip. Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.